So page 5, television continued. Look at that picture of the 1950s. I think I've said this a couple times throughout the year, that if I could just pick one subject maybe, or one image, one political cartoon, one expression, and have that work for the whole unit, you know, this is what it would be. Well, there we go for the 1950s. The fabulous 50s. I mean, life does not get any better than that. And then
a pusher 3 or 4 years ago did that, which is pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah, it is exactly the same thing. That's what that's all about. There are so many wonderful things going on there. First of all, you see the influence of the TV, and the whole family is centered in on that TV. And do you notice that, well, there's books representing education, and the first, and then the family is there. And do you see the role models, the gender expectations? I mean, can you just, I mean, I'm sure you're, I hope this comes out like I want it to. I'm sure your moms are like this, that whenever it's, you know, time to maybe watch a movie or something, she says, wait a minute, give me time to go upstairs and put on a nice dress and makeup and put some jewelry on, and then I'll, and heels, so that I can be comfortable watching in my gender role, you know, watching TV with the family, you know? Of course not. And then the guy, I mean, you people, I don't know if you remember this, but the first month in this school year, I wore a tie every day. And the happiest part of my day, I had two happy parts of my day every day when I did that. One was at 3:30, so I could take the mask off, but the other was at about 3:45 when I got home, so I could take off the tie and everything else and just get into jeans and a t-shirt. And so my point is, look at that. So I don't know if I have ever been watching TV at, I don't know, pick a time, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, and I still got my shirt and tie on. But in the 1950s, you did. And then the happy family. I mean, even the children are dressed like they're going to go to church or something, and everybody's happy, and the boy there is playing with, I don't know if those are soldiers or like, you know, but, you know, playing there. So, wow, a plant. I mean, life just doesn't get any better than that. Everybody has a smile, and yeah, all right. And then I just had some fun. I just, you know, went off the deep end when I did this 4 or 5 years ago. And here are some television shows. One or two of those, maybe, you recognize, like from TV Land or something like that. And some of those I don't even remember, because I got this from another source, but a lot of them I do. Then look at the second from the bottom. Politicians now are beginning to use TV as a major mechanism for information, for campaigning. And there's, you know, Nixon's checkers speech again. And then notably, I think it's the very last item on here, the Nixon and Kennedy election, which involved televised debates in 1960. All right, page 6. So, radio's competition, television, understandably pushes that radio to another place. It wasn't extinction, though. Instead, radio turns to more local programming. So that could be just the community, the town, or just sort of the region rather than national. Now, there's been a resurgence now, like, I don't know, 15, 20, years or more, a resurgence of radio. So now there's plenty of national programming on radio. But for a while, radio was, for the most part, relegated to more local programming. Hollywood really comes up with some goofy stuff. Look at that. Third item down. So it's been a while. Maybe it's been a while since you've been to a movie theater. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to the next time I can go to the Elks, which is like the best ever. And, you know, you're aware of the 3D glasses. You probably have used those. But look at some of that. Look at that. Smell-o-vision and Aroma-rama. So there was some experimentation done with, what would you call that, infusing a certain aroma into the theater that matched what's on the screen. And I can't come up with a good example, but, you know, there was some experimentation. There was a movie years and years ago when they were doing all the tragedy movies, like airplane tragedies and fire tragedies in skyscrapers, well, earthquakes. So there was some experimentation a few years ago, I think before you were around, about having the theater sort of shape or having the music, you know, the bass or something. I don't know how they did it, but so the earthquake's going on the screen and you're actually feeling a little bit of that shake. So anyway, that's what that was all about. And then I've told you, I've had a couple recommendations in terms of movies. Schindler's List. Yeah, you got to watch that at some point in your lives. You got to watch that. And then I'm not sure if I mentioned, and you're going to stay away from any movie that stars Kevin Costner or Nicolas Cage, right? You just are. And then another movie that I recommend, high on my list, is Beetlejuice. I'm not talking about, I think there was an animated Beetlejuice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Beetlejuice. Oh, you got to see that. That's one of the best ever. But also on the list, North by Northwest. How many of you have seen North by Northwest? You are so missing out. So here it is. Alfred Hitchcock, North by Northwest. Well, there's the star, Cary Grant. And ladies, you can just see he's a pretty good-looking guy. He's 10 times better looking like on the screen than he is there. All right, so you'll dig him a lot. I mean, he's easy to look at, ladies. That's for sure. Eye candy for you ladies, right? And then it's a murder mystery thing. Not murder so much, but a mystery, drama. And so Cary Grant is being chased. And I'm not ruining the story for you. By the bad guys, the whole movie. And it's pretty cool. And ends up, of course, you got to end up with the gal at some point. And they end up in Rapid City, South Dakota. And so there's the Mount Rushmore. And first of all, look at those cars. I mean, we're going to get to that, but those cars had such character in them, unlike cars today. All right. But the scene, look at the bottom there. And I'm not ruining the movie for you. They are climbing. What you see below is the Mount Rushmore gift center and restaurant. They are climbing on Washington's nose there. And that's, you know, comes at the end of the movie. It's pretty good. It really is. You'll enjoy that. So watch that sometime. All right. North by Northwest. Okay. Page 7, speaking of automobiles. Two great decades for the automobile. You already know about one of those, right? The 1920s. And for travel due to what the automobile allowed Americans to do. Well, the next great decade is the 1950s. So automobiles represent, in the 1950s, mobility, materialism again, and, well, social status. And, of course, a lot of these are pretty closely related, right? We associate a lot of materialism with social status. Yeah, I was going to tell you a story, but we'll move on. Okay, so new car sales boomed. I was just talking to somebody this past week. My dad was a Cadillac and Oldsmobile guy. Now, Oldsmobile's not around anymore, but Oldsmobiles were upper class, like Cadillacs. And as it so happened, in Rapid City, that was the same dealership. Black Hills, Oldsmobile, Cadillac. Or Cadillac Oldsmobile, I guess it probably would have been. Located where the Hay Camp Brewery is. So next time you're in that area, take a look. And that rounded portion there, Kansas City and what, about 9th Street? Or no, it'd be about 6th Street, I suppose. But anyway, that rounded portion, that was the showroom. So just imagine in there, a big new Cadillac sitting. And then the rest of it, you can see where they would have had a few garage doors for the service and so forth. That used to be Black Hills Cadillac Oldsmobile. I remember walking down there with my dad a couple of times when I was a little guy, and he went in there and we looked at a Cadillac on the floor, and he's just looking at it. And at this time, he owned a big Oldsmobile that was like, I don't know if you could fit that Oldsmobile in this room. It'd be pretty tight because, you know, cars were a lot bigger. So he's looking at the Cadillac, and, of course, he looks at the sticker, you know, and he just shook his head. I must have been, I don't know, like in grade school, and he just shook his head, and he said, that's nuts. He said, $7,000 for a brand new car. He said, this is nuts. Yeah. And so nowadays, you know, wish you would have bought about 15 of those, you know, and just have them brand new there. But anyway, and so automobiles now start to be viewed as a necessity rather than a luxury or a convenience like the 1920s. And then that leads to more stuff due to the automobile. Remember in the 1920s, the automobile was the automobile industry was the economic multiplier, and we mentioned, you know, motels and service stations. Well, the 1950s adds to that list, like theme parks and motels. Holiday Inn. Fifty-three up there. Well, early 1950s, Holiday Inn was the greatest motel franchise ever. Their signs, you can see it here, you can see it there, they're not around anymore. Just so gaudy, and they lit up in about four different colors, like a Christmas tree, and they were just the absolute coolest. A Holiday Inn. And so, look at that picture of the Holiday Inn there. First of all, look at the cars again. But then, look what you get when you stay in a Holiday Inn. The list of amenities. You get year-round air conditioning. You get free advance reservations. Television in every room. All tile baths. Wall-to-wall carpeting. Telephone in every room. Meeting facilities, a swimming pool, free ice, and then they all had a restaurant and lounge in there, so appetizing food. All, you know, Holiday Inn, wow, yeah. If you think about in Rapid City, I-90, and then as you're going to I-90 East, so you be heading to Sioux Falls, but you're going to get off as though you're going to Rushmore Crossing, and then you're going to come down onto, you know, past the Sam's Club and then Shields and all that. So that motel right there. So you get off the exit and then off to your left, and it changes names about every year. I don't know what it is now, but that used to be a Holiday Inn. That was the first Holiday Inn in Rapid City, and back when there weren't very many hotels out there, and it looked just a lot like that. I mean, that postcard or that picture there could be the Holiday Inn in Rapid City. I remember taking vacations every summer in the Oldsmobile Delta 88. That's a big black Oldsmobile, and we'd go one summer to Iowa for my dad's relatives, the next summer to Kansas for my mom's relatives. And I remember driving on those, my dad driving the Oldsmobile Delta 88. Now, no seatbelts. That's before they were, installed regularly and before they were required. Eventually, they were required by law. And then I remember a lot of cars had to actually go get them installed. Yeah. But anyway, so no seatbelts. And then one of my favorite places to lay when I was a kid was on that back dashboard, you know, where they got the back window, so I'm laying up there, you know, as my dad's going about 95 miles an hour in the Oldsmobile Delta 88. I mean, and it's just like, just a, you know, in the back seat because they were so big. I know that every once in a while, I'm an only child, every once in a while my mom would look back there and it'd take her about 5 minutes to find me because it's so big back there in the back seat, you know. So I'm all over the place and just going 95 miles an hour in that Oldsmobile. It was, and it could have gone about 50 miles an hour faster. And then we always, I figured this out later. This is going to, you're going to do this as you get older, I think. You're clueless about a couple things now. And then it's suddenly going to dawn on you at some point. We'd go to Iowa or Kansas and get to where we needed to get in one day. Kind of a long day, but one day. Whenever we came back, we'd always stop at a motel. Could never figure that out. I mean, I didn't make that connection at the time, but now, you know, a few years later, I made that connection. We stopped at a motel just for me as a kid because it was kind of a, you know, kind of a thing. And I know that might sound, you know, kind of basic to you, but yeah, so that was just something my parents did for me. And I remember it was kind of a ritual, like, okay, let's stop here. And so what we would do is sort of drive up and down the main drag where all these motels were, and we'd kind of, well, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? You know, and we'd have, I'd have fun doing it. I don't know if my parents did, but they did it for me. And then the ritual for us was that we'd decide on one, pull up, and then my dad and I would go in, and my dad would always ask to see the room. He'd talk about the, you know, the rate, and, you know, you have rooms available, I see the room, and then can I see the room before, you know, you actually decide to check in, just to make sure. So my dad and I went into this one place, I remember, and with this ritual,